The AI Today podcast, produced by Cognilytica, cuts through the hype and noise to identify what is really happening now in the world of artificial intelligence. Learn about emerging AI trends, technologies, and use cases from Cognilytica analysts and guest experts.
Hello, and welcome to the AI Today podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Mulch.
And I'm your host, Ron Schmelzer. And it's interesting that so much of the conversation about AI is about generative AI. And we acknowledge that, you know, this is sort of the entry point for most people, most sort of casual people who have not been working on AI and are not data scientists, not machine learning engineers. Generative AI, you know, especially things like ChatGPT or the image generators or the audio generators or using it built into some tool, generative AI is the entry point where people realize the power of what happens when you train a machine on a lot of data, right? And it comes back with something that is specific to what you ask. And it seems like magic. And I think the reason why the conversation is so much about it is because now people are able to think about how it really impacts themselves in their daily lives. I think the one thing we'd like to encourage folks to realize is that generative AI, as part of AI, one of the applications of AI, one of the many patterns of AI, is really here. And I think that it's incumbent upon everybody to learn how to make proper use of generative AI, because those that do will be able to work in the future work environment, and those that don't, I think, will be left behind.
Yeah, there's, you know, a lot of people are saying this quote now, but it is worth repeating that, you know, we talked a lot about, will AI replace your job? And people say, no, AI won't, but people that know AI and have these AI skills will. And I think it's important to continue to share that message, because what it's saying is, you need to learn this. You know, it's like knowing how to use email. If you don't know how to use email, working in a professional environment is quite difficult. Is it impossible? No. But is it really hard? Yes. And does it severely limit the jobs that you can have? Yes. Same thing with this. We're just not there yet, but we're moving in that direction. And that's why we think it's so important. And that's why we have a whole podcast series on prompt engineering best practices. For folks that have been doing this for a while, you may think that some of this is very basic and very obvious, but we wanted to make sure that we are presenting all of prompt engineering best practices in our podcast so that folks that are listening, either it's a refresher for them or they get to hear it and learn it for the first time. So in today's podcast, we are continuing in our prompt engineering best practices, and we are going to be talking about using custom instructions.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that people may have experienced, if you spend any time at all with any sort of generative AI solution, whether it's going directly to ChatGPT or Google Gemini or Microsoft Copilot, or maybe it's now that little sparkle that's included in your tool, what you realize is that sometimes you get the answer that you want right away, but a lot of times you don't. And in a previous podcast, we talked about prompt chaining, where it's like sometimes it takes multiple steps to get there. And because an LLM has a little bit of memory within your, if you want to think of it that way, within the context of one conversation, that when you start a conversation, then it provides a response. And then you can go back and say, well, I really meant this, or please add this to your response. It already has kept track of everything. So you don't need to start from scratch. That's sort of one of the benefits of having this conversation within this context. The problem, though, is that every time you want to have a new conversation, you're kind of starting that context window from scratch, which has its plus sides and its downsides. On the plus side, you don't want it necessarily remembering something or using something from a previous conversation in a new conversation if it's not relevant. It may get confused. And sometimes these systems do get confused. And one of the only ways to have it not get confused is just to kind of start all over. It's just like, okay, clear that and move on. But one of the downsides, of course, to every conversation has its new context window is sometimes you find yourself repeating yourself at the beginning of a conversation, especially if you're trying to accomplish some task and you're like, you know, respond with this tone, you know, use this detail, here's some context for you, maybe some examples. And we talked about you need to provide that because if you want a good quality response, you need to follow this prompt pattern is one of the first best practices we shared. And the prompt pattern has you do all these things. But doing that every single time on every new conversation is annoying. So there is a best practice to not necessarily have to keep repeating yourself, especially for tasks that you are repeating very often.
Exactly. And so that's using custom instructions. And specifically for OpenAI's ChatGPT, it allows you to provide settings that tailor the responses that can match that tone and that desired output goals as a default, so that you don't need to make sure that you are doing that every time, which, yes, you should be following the best practices, but you might forget to do it, or you know, may find it cumbersome that every single time you're having to type in all of this. And also, we talked about context windows and that you can only type in so much text in each context window. And so this is eating into some of that text. So now you can have these defaults that can be applied to all of your future prompts. And many have reported that using these custom instructions really has resulted in more accurate, precise, consistent, and predictable results, while you also don't need to constantly be typing that in. So that's why it's important that we bring it up, so that in case you weren't familiar with these settings, know that you can customize, you can make these customizations, especially customized ChatGPT settings. So you can provide these custom instructions either through the API, or you can find the custom instructions in that customized ChatGPT settings. So that if you see that, now you know what it is. And if you've been using it, that's great. You also have the ability to enable it for new chats or not. It's a little toggle that you can use. So that if you are, you know, say 90% of the time you use ChatGPT for work, but 10% of the time you don't. And so you don't want it to be, you know, acting as that professional or writing in a specific tone for those, then you do have the ability to turn it off, which is nice.
Yeah, especially if you don't want to delete it. Actually, it wasn't too long ago. We were talking to one of our clients here where they were saying, like, I'm always getting the responses in a particular way. It's not listening to me. And I'm thinking, well, it's probably because you have some custom instructions set. And so it's always going to respond that way because you told it to. I think that little toggle switch may not have existed because the only way to stop it from doing that was to actually delete it. And maybe you didn't want to delete it because maybe that custom prompt was useful. If you're looking at ChatGPT's implementation of this, and not all the LLMs have this ability, sometimes you have to do it within the code. So if you're talking to the system with an API, you can do something called system instructions, or other things where you can basically provide sort of the met on top of what the user might type in as their prompt, you can provide these additional instructions through your API or other settings, so that way you can instruct the LLM how to respond to that user prompt. The way ChatGPT does it in the settings part, when you're using the ChatGPT interface, which is a chatbot interface to the GPT model, it asks you two questions. It says, what would you like ChatGPT to know about you to provide better responses? So basically, this is the tone part, a little bit about the audience as well, like thinking, okay, I am this kind of person, my audience is this kind of group. And then the second part is, it says, how would you like ChatGPT to respond? Which is really about outputs and formatting. Say, I always want the response to be in JSON format, CSV, tables, you know, always provide an explanation, whatever it is. There's actually a lot of ways of doing that. You are limited in the number of characters that you can enter for each of those sort of settings, in part for two reasons. One, to keep it short, but also because, as Kathleen mentioned, it can eat into your context window if you provide pages and pages of instructions. Also, it might be confusing to put all that stuff in. But you can get a lot accomplished within those 1,500 characters. You know, in the first part, as I mentioned, it says, what would you like ChatGPT to know about you? This is where you can set your tone. You could say, like, I'm a professional working with project managers and other business and technical implementers. So assume that my audience will be knowledgeable on the topic of AI, generative AI, or very knowledgeable, somewhat knowledgeable on the topics, or maybe very knowledgeable on the topic of project management. So you don't have to always do that. You can even say things like, you know, assume that, you know, don't write for a beginner audience. And same thing on the response side, you can have it be more specific. You can customize how you get the system to respond always to your prompts. There's some specific things we can ask here.
Yeah. And so that's also important too. You know, you want to say, you know, ask clarifying questions that'll help you generate those better responses. And in general, it's just important to understand that this is possible, because then, you know, you can say, like, never use first noun pronouns, or always provide reference sources. And so this is helping to make sure that it does what you want every single time without having to prompt that. And this is a best practice. We like to have this series because we also say, you know, this is one of the patterns of AI. And so when we are running AI projects, we need to make sure that we really are following best practices. And so that's best practices for that specific type of AI, but then also in general, best practices for running and managing AI projects. And so you may not think of this as an AI project, but it is. It's a mini AI project. So we always say, think about what problem you're trying to solve. A lot of times you'll see people post on LinkedIn or on social media or maybe share in newsletters that they have all these little projects that they're working on. And yes, this is new and exciting, and everybody is trying to figure out how best to use and optimize, you know, large language models, generative AI. But what we're finding is a lot of people are not necessarily saying, what business problem am I trying to solve, or what problem am I solving? And they're coming up with these toy projects. And while that is okay, you know, sort of for research purposes, maybe to push boundaries of what's possible, it doesn't provide that real world value that you need. So when you're not doing things like making sure you're understanding the business problem you're trying to solve, when you're not figuring out what that ROI, that return on investment is, you're going to run into issues. And you're going to quickly realize that the, you know, prompts that you're building aren't actually solving real world problems or aren't actually providing that much value. So while it's fun that you can post about this, it's not actually providing that return that you're seeking, and people will lose interest.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that, you know, having these, as I was saying earlier, having these skills and working with generative AI, I think is going to become a requirement, job requirement. I mentioned this in other podcasts, but it, you know, it wasn't too, in the 1980s, you'd see people putting on their resumes, I'm skilled at word processing, or I'm skilled at like knowing how to use a spreadsheet. And, you know, that might have been a differentiator. It probably was more of a signal that you're not like some technology Luddite and you don't know how to use computers. But I think nowadays, if you put that in, the answer is like, well, yeah, no duh. You should have learned that, you know, in your high school or middle school, you know, or maybe even earlier. You should be a technology native. This is not really that new. There are still people out there that print their emails, write their responses, and have somebody else generate them. I think those people are clearly living in the past. But you know, just as ridiculous as that sounds, I think we're going to be talking about that in a decade or two from now. They're like, there are still people who will, you know, do stuff from scratch and not leverage this tool. It's a very, I think people who are resisting the use of generative AI in their companies, their organizations, their countries, I think are very short-sighted. This is something we may revisit on a future topic when we talk about legislation in this area. But you know, the more and more we not only personally experience generative AI in particular, but have had this experience with AI, the more I think we realize that there's lots of analogies here. The cat's out of the bag, you can't put the cat back in the bag. The toothpaste's out of the tube, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Pandora's box, you know, whatever it is, whatever analogy is, you know.
Use ChatGPT to find more.
Yeah, thank you. ChatGPT, give me 20 analogies here. I think legislatively and corporatively, you need to figure out how to leverage this tool to help you build and grow. And so that's what we're helping you all realize, that even though this all may seem basic to some of you, I think to a lot of people, this is still a skill that they need to learn and they need to practice and they need to use daily. And then a lot of these best practices will just seem like obvious practice.
Intuitive, right? Kind of yeah, like exactly. Email best practices now, right? You know, like,
right. Do not respond to all.
Oh, I was going to say, and hopefully we know how to respond to all when needed as well. Right. Some of these, you know, we could probably have an email best practices refresher course. But
don't
that's what's
on all your links, you know.
Don't click on all your links. Yes, that is true too. So that's why we think that it's so important to have these podcasts. So if you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to AI Today. This is part 3 in our 6-part series. So up next, we'll be discussing using plugins to enhance LLM's capabilities beyond just its basic functions. So definitely make sure to subscribe to AI Today if you haven't done so already, so we can notify you about that. Also, we talked about best practices methodologies for running and managing AI projects. We're big advocates of CPM AI. And so if you're interested in learning more about CPM AI and getting certified in CPM AI, you can go to cognolitica.com/CPMAI, and we'll also link to that in the show notes as well. Like this episode and want to hear more? With hundreds of episodes and over 3 million downloads, Check out more AI Today podcasts at aitoday.live. Make sure to subscribe to AI Today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, or your favorite podcast platform. Want to dive deeper and get resources to drive your AI efforts further? We've put together a carefully curated collection of resources and tools handcrafted for you, our listeners, to expand your knowledge, dive deeper into the world of AI, and provide you with the essential resources you need. Check it out at aitoday.live/list. This sound recording and its contents are copyright by Cognilytica. All rights reserved. Music by Matsu Gravas. As always, thanks for listening to AI Today, and we'll catch you at the next podcast.